This episode is sponsored in part by our friends at Redis, the company behind the incredibly popular open source database that is not the Bind DNS server. If you're tired of managing open source Redis on your own, or you're using one of the vanilla cloud caching services, these folks have you covered with the go-to managed Redis service for global caching and primary database capabilities, Redis Enterprise. To learn more and deploy not only a cache, but a single operational data platform for one Redis experience, visit redis.com/hero. That's redis.com/hero. And my thanks to my friends at Redis for sponsoring my ridiculous nonsense. So last week's episode on AWS's security challenges kicked something of a beehive. You should go listen to it if you haven't, or what the rest I'm about to say doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Now, the fun thing about having a large audience is that folks respond when I say things. Now, a bunch of people hadn't heard about the security issues previously, which isn't surprising. But a much more disturbing revelation was that this isn't the first incident that was publicly disclosed about cross-account problems within AWS. Back in September of 2020, it was apparently possible to get CloudTrail to spew random credentials from other accounts if you basically asked it nicely. Look, it's become apparent that AWS does not disclose issues like this, and that what had formerly been perceived, at least by me, as a security posture that was otherworldly effective, was instead a policy of say nothing unless forced to do so. I'm in the extremely uncomfortable position of having to reevaluate just how far I can trust AWS. If my emails are any indication, I am very far from the only one. Now let's see what happened last week in AWS. Amazon GuardDuty now detects EC2 instance credentials used from another AWS account. I would prefer a setting that denies the ability to use them from absolutely anywhere except the instance to which they were provisioned. Perhaps I'm a dreamer. Amazon Recognition improves accuracy of content moderation for video. This update addresses, quote, reduces false positive rates across all of the moderation categories, particularly explicit nudity, end quote. I look forward to a conversation with my account manager about exactly what constitutes explicit nudity in a conversation that's near certain to make him long for the relative comfort of the talk with his parents. AWS Elastic Disaster Recovery now supports failback automation. Jokes about what an AWS Elastic Disaster is aside, this is good. This is basically one-click failback. Fully automated failback means that you have a primary and a secondary, each seizing production from one another at a frantic pace that causes more outages than anything they're trying to defend against. AWS Trusted Advisor now integrates with AWS Security Hub. I dislike that it requires a paid support agreement for every account you want these on at a business tier or $100 a month or higher. Don't charge for nonsense like this, for God's sake. AWS Client VPN now supports banner text and maximum session duration. And if that banner text is an advertisement for something, chalk up yet another AWS service that displays banner ads. Now, DynamoDB can return the throughput capacity consumed by PartiQL API calls to help you optimize your queries and throughput costs. Return as in display it. It does not mean gives it back, and boy is my face red, and I owe someone who's on call this week a massive apology. Bring your own public IP addresses to VMware Cloud on AWS, but you can mix and match the words in that headline super well. My favorite variant is bring your own VMware to cloud on AWS. How Ribbon Communications built a scalable, resilient robocall mitigation platform. Yeah, robocalls suck. Oh, hey, AWS, is this you? Because in 2019, you had a blog post that I talked about here saying automating outbound calling to customers using Amazon Connect. Yeah. What are you, an arms dealer? Selling to both sides? Knock that shit off. Securely share your data across AWS accounts using AWS Lakeformation, or insecurely share your data across AWS accounts by using which services? We don't know. AWS still has a pattern of not disclosing these things, apparently. Oh, if you thought that I was going to let this go? Oh, no, no. I spent 4 months dunking on Azure and no one at AWS bothered to say, hey, that might be a bit unfair. This is not going to be a fun year for you folks. This episode is sponsored in part by our friends at Chaos Search. You could run Elasticsearch or Elastic Cloud or OpenSearch, as they're calling it now, or a self-hosted Elk Stack. But why? Chaos Search gives you the same API you've come to know and tolerate, along with unlimited data retention and no data movement. Just throw your data into S3 and proceed from there as you would expect. This is great for IT operations folks, for app performance monitoring, cybersecurity. If you're using Elasticsearch, consider not running Elasticsearch. They're also available now in the AWS Marketplace if you'd prefer not to go direct and have half of whatever you pay them count toward your EDP commitment. Discover what companies like Equifax, Armor Security, and Blackboard already have. To learn more, visit chaossearch.io. And tell them I sent you, just so you can see them facepalm yet again. Introducing AWS Lambda batching controls for message broker services. And if you implement this, it'll save you money, usually. Thus, the circle is complete, Lambda itself makes less money, and is then itself, wait for it, a broker service. AWS joins Mach Alliance. Or MAC Alliance, or MACH, however you want to pronounce it, the Chet in Hebrew, good for you, roll with it. They've joined as an enabler. Now, if I remember my intro to psych course half a lifetime ago, the term enabler generally describes someone whose behavior allows a loved one to continue self-destructive patterns of behavior, which, for a cloud-native alliance, is remarkably on the nose. 10 memorable customer moments from 10 years of AWS reInvent. The next post I want to see in this series is 10 memorable partner moments, wherein there are videos of the various spit takes companies on the expo floor did at the moment they saw that AWS had just launched a new service to compete with them. How AWS is supporting buy now, pay later. Yeah, if you want to exploit people, particularly those who are financially insecure, then AWS is pleased to help you by presenting 30 services you get to tie together. Now, you absolutely must pay for those services as you go, because what AWS empowers versus what AWS does are two remarkably different worlds. If you're picking up some judgment on this, maybe it's coming from you, because you know you shouldn't be doing that. And lastly, simplify your commute with new Alexa Public Transit feature. I'm not saying that this feature should have been rolled out long before now. I am saying that I built a custom Alexa skill to solve this for me out of a Lambda function. Now, I'm also saying that Lambda function is still using the Node 8.10 runtime, which went end of life in 2019, and I apparently last updated it 4 years ago. But, you know, draw your own conclusions. And that's what happened last week in AWS. I am cloud economist Corey Quinn, and I look forward to your emails, which I will ignore.
This has been a Humble Pod production.
Stay humble.